Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, October 28th. We have a lot to talk about in terms of we just had one of the worst hate-filled weeks in the United States that I have ever been privileged to witness. And we had three hate-filled suspects, and this all happened within 72 hours. Some man walked into a Kroger's and just killed a couple of people. Another man decided to send mail bombs all over, yesterday, a man went into a synagogue and shot up some people, and his whole thing was, I just want to kill Jews. All three of them, unfortunately, and I have to bring this up, but they're all major Trump supporters, and the guy who sent out the pipe bombs were people who were talked about Trump. He didn't like that. The citizens who got killed in the Kroger, they were African Americans, and the man who shot them says he doesn't. Whites don't kill whites, so he only wanted to kill the African Americans. And the guy who killed all the Jewish people, he just wanted to kill Jews. I don't know. Where this is going, but what I do know is there's an election coming up, and there's a lot of conversation about there's a lot of crooked things going on with the election. I think I don't know where all this is going, because now we got another week, and if people feel that they can do this, I guess they're feeling they can get away with this. I don't know. Bruce, what are your thoughts on what's going on in the United States right now?
Well, I just popped on. Sorry for being a minute later. So I have a very strong opinion on what's going on, but who else is with us today?
Let me ask Ron. Ron, what do you think?
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about what's going on. But first of all, and I've said, before that sometimes hearing, our heartfelt condolences and it's starting to really not mean anything. But my heart does ache for the families in Pittsburgh in the synagogue whose lives were really torn apart by this lunatic. For lack of a better word, how do I even start? I've never seen the country as divisive as it is right now, and we've talked about this before. And I do have a strong sentiment: our president, Mr. Trump, has at least partial blame. I'm not going to say all of the blame, but I think his rhetoric and his just his demeanor and the way he conducts himself really pits us against each other in this country. Right before the show, I got off the phone with my middle brother. He's a year and a half younger than me. And we got into a heated argument about Trump and Obama and all the issues that they stand or not stand for. And this is my own brother. And my other brother's the same way. We argue all the time. It never used to be like this before. I don't know what has gone on. I mean, the media is partly to blame, I think, because now I think we're seeing everything as it happens. And I do have to admit that that maybe the media is as soon as there's an opportunity. And this is coming from somebody. This is my background, journalism. But as soon as there's an opportunity to bash or blame something on the president. I'll admit, you know, most of the media will jump on that opportunity. But I think it's, I think it is a reality that Trump, just his rhetoric and the way he portrays himself in the rallies and what he says against what he says about his opponents and you know, he shouldn't even be campaigning. I mean, he should be trying to unite the country. I mean, this is Ronald Reagan. No president that I can remember, Democratic or Republican, has ever done this to the country to the degree that I've seen Trump do this. So I think, you know, the guns, the violence, the hatred, I think we are at a point where it's just not going to get better, unfortunately.
No, I don't think so either. But do you know that the man who tried to kill, who killed the two people in the Kroger's, that before he went there, he tried to barge into a church, but they locked the doors and he left. So it looks like, you know, people are not going to go out in groups anymore. I mean, look, churches, why are people using churches as their place to kill people? I mean, is it
because it's easy access?
Right. Okay, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on
statement?
Pardon me?
What did you say, David?
I said, what are your thoughts on the last 72 hours of last week? Do you see it happening again?
I mean, I have no I have no faith right now. I think that things are going to keep happening. Yes, I really do. It's been outrageous the last 72 hours, all the hate crimes and situations that have occurred. But, you know, I think Trump came out and spoke about it, and he's talking about – didn't he say something about the death penalty? If things are done in this manner, that person shouldn't wait for the death penalty or something like that?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and then he turns around and goes to a rally and look at the way he talks at his rallies. Again, being divisive. Sorry to jump in.
No, that's good.
So
okay, Bruce.
I don't like our direction as a nation. I really don't.
You know, it's critical, but I don't hear anything to help us. What about you, Bruce? Where are you on this?
I could not agree more with both my compatriots on the panel. They're both right. I just want to lay my two cents, my input on top of that as well. I also agree that it's so many different parties and factions that are causing this. The ramping up of incivility and to higher and higher in levels, like you do one, I'm going to do three. You do five, I'm going to do six. You do this, I'm going to do that. Is just getting out of control, and it's fanned by the political parties. Both. It's fanned by the current president. It's fanned by the last president, President Obama. Maybe a little bit more beyond that, but it seems to be the two of them in the limelight. It's fanned by Hillary Clinton. It's fanned by so many different people and so many different venues that I also tend to agree with Jeremiah, that the only way it's going to – I believe it will change, but there's going to be something that makes it change. These components, these people that are supposed to be adults about this, don't seem to know how to be adults enough to stop the very thing that they all created. And we're all sitting on the sidelines going, what the heck is going on? I mean, do we have to take all of you out of the office and all of you out of positions of power and start over again? That's the frustration that I feel and a lot of other people feel nationwide, black, white, Republican, Democrat. I don't. It's not isolated to one belief or one party. I tend to think that again. You've heard me say this before. One of the leadership roles that has to come from the press. They are not leading. They are fanning the fire. Trump, I agree with what Ron said, is not being presidential enough in the fact that, you know what, just make the statements, create the environment that brings people together, not fan any fires. You're the president of the United States, but he is not the only one, and this did not start with him. He hasn't toned it down enough. He hasn't stopped it enough. But he's the leader, and he needs to be the one in the lead of changing that atmosphere. I'll end with the thought right now that I thought about this a lot. I think there's too many people also that use racism as an excuse. And racism can be, you've heard me say this, it's not just white to black, it's black to white. It's if you look up the definition of racism, it's not necessarily just African American. It can be a variety of actions that cause racism. And to have the press say, well, let's see, I can't think of an intelligent way to answer this question, so I'm going to call racism. Or I'm going to call so-and-so a white supremacist. It's like they don't want to think about an intelligent decision. They just want to throw out a word so they don't have to think about it anymore. We've got to stop that. I think all of us are hungry to hear, give me an intelligent reason why you feel the way you feel. Don't give me this excuse of a word or two or a phrase that doesn't solve anything. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I took a little bit too much time, but I'm starting to get upset about this.
Well, you said that this started pre-Trump, and you brought in Clinton, Obama. I would assume Bush also.
Possibly, how do you? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
How do you feel? How do you say that they fanned the flame? Because I don't. So when do you say this flame started?
Well, I think it's been building for several presidencies. It's the idea that we went from being able to the political parties, which is what we're focused on, being able, that's where the leadership of the country is with the presidency and the parties. They used to intelligently talk about their differences and state the reasons why. You think this way, I think this way. I disagree with you, and here are the reasons why. Or I agree with you, here are the reasons why. We're not doing that anymore. We're saying, well, I don't agree with you, so you're this or you're that. And that's happening on both sides. It's like two little kids that don't want to think about what they're doing and come up with an intelligent answer. That may be a crude definition, but that's, you know, that's the gist of what I'm saying. President Obama, just recently, you just heard him this week, says, well, you know, all this wonderful success with the economy now, it's really mine. And he didn't say it, but he said, you know where it started. I said, if I was in front of President Obama, respectfully, I'd say, are you really saying that, President? I said, because, and here's why I would question, challenge him on it. When all the bad things were happening, sir, you blamed all that on a prior president. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I get credit for some of the good now because I started it. And, oh, by the way, all the bad stuff, no, that wasn't mine. That was the guys before me. That's crap. That's not leadership. So I would call him on that, as I would any president. As Ron said, President Trump has to stop being the kid in the group. He has to be the adult in the group and be more presidential and lead. You know, he started to say little things like that that were good. Then he falls back into tweets that he shouldn't be doing. So they're all to blame. And we, as participants out here, are going, what do we do to stop this, to turn this around? And I hope I'm wrong in the fact that the only thing that's going to truly stop it is going to be some, I mean, even 9/11 we thought was going to make a major difference. It did for a while, but then we went right back to it, and we just kept elevating the rhetoric. So I don't know what it is, but I do feel something, some occurrence, hopefully not bad, is going to occur where we will get more civil with each other. But I don't know when. I don't know how.
Don't you feel that the way that things are going right now, that it's possibly going to end in another civil war, but more?
No.
Why not? I mean, because you have right now, of course, we're saying that all of the, terrorists are the ones that cause this problem. But we have our own inter-terrorists in the United States.
We have our own inner turmoil. That's right.
Yeah, they are the ones that are killing people who don't look like them. So the Jews got killed, yesterday. I would think that, groups like the Black Panther Party, this is how they come alive, because they're trying to protect their people. And then, of course, you got the FBI and everything trying to back them down. And then it gets into, a lot of discontent on both sides. So you don't see this heading in the area of a major setback with possibly some type of civil war?
Well, I'm not sure what your definition of major we against you war in the United States. No, I don't. And that's probably your definition of civil. This all comes from the fact that hate, H-A-T-E, has just gotten way too big, way too violent, way too visual. That's all we're talking about. And until our leaders lead the way and say, you know what, this isn't where we're going to go, and we're going to figure out ways in the government They're supposed to be smart people. We put them there to figure it out and to lead. And you and I know if they do that, whatever that combination is, we'll follow. We'll gladly follow because we're all tired of that. But no, maybe it's the optimism in me. I am an optimist kind of guy. That no, it's not going to get to that point. Nope.
All right, let's talk to some of the younger ones. What about you, Spencer? What do you think?
Sorry,
Spencer.
For the question, but I don't think it's gonna be some type of civil war, but there might be some type of. Well, it might actually. Now that you think about it, it might be a group that arises, like you said, like the Black Panther. Black Panther to start combating these issues that we're having, and I don't think it will be for too long. I actually think this will, once the next president be ushered in, that this whole type of racism style America that we have now will start to wean out, and the violence will somehow subside a little bit. But as far as the shootings is concerned, that might continue. I don't know what's the trend or what started that, but for some reason, it's instead of speaking with words now, we're speaking with guns and just going inside public places and just shooting people up. And it's actually kind of scary now, because now you just got to be aware of where you're at, because you never know who's having a bad day or what they've been taking or whatever. It might just come up into the place that you're at. Like you said, a grocery store, the Kroger's, a church, and just start shooting up the place. But I think the president, the media, ourselves play a big part and what's going on as a collective here in America. And the narrative is just all wrong. And if we could just somehow tone down the narrative, which I think the base of it is this whole me versus you, black versus white, black Mexican, white versus Mexican, that whole thing, if we could just tone that down and just switch up the narrative, then I think it would get better for us as a country.
Spencer, can I ask you something, Ms. Bruce?
Okay.
What if you and I and anyone else in our group had the airwaves? We were the reporters. We had a station on the air that had national viewing. I would bet we could lay down a tone and a direction and a vision. Don't know exactly what that would be right now. If we had the stage, we could make a difference. Do you agree with that or not?
I agree, but I also still think that there's people out there that's going to disagree and that's gonna try to what's the word I'm looking for?
Refute
refute our tone or try to create a different tone, narrative to what I'm saying. And it wouldn't just be us, because there are platforms that's out there that's right now that's doing what you're talking about. It's just that I don't think there's enough of them, and there's just more of the opposite narrative that I think is out there that's just overshadowing that. Because I think there are platforms. Go ahead.
And nothing, Spencer, I think, is perceived as neutral right now. We need to create at least a perceived neutral stage now, at least for the moment, and have people believe that, you know, we've got every nationality, we have, you know, the major nationalities, we have the major races, we have the major politicians that are part of our group that instead of using physical violence, if you want to be violent with your words, be passionate about your disagreement. That's the violence that we used to have, healthy violence, where you disagree, you come up with your way to defend your position. We've moved from that to physical violence, and that's what keeps – and unless somebody stops that, I agree with some of us said might keep going, but I'm hopeful, as you are and others, that there'll be somebody or some way or something that will let it turn the right direction.
But I don't see that happening anytime soon. We have a president who's out there making these derogatory speeches about Democrats. He's not trying to reach across the aisle. He's against Democrats, and he is, which is why all the pipe bombs got sent, because there were people who Democrats who talked about according to the news press, there was people who talked about Trump. So our president, I think, is the main point, and I don't see him changing anytime soon, because what you see is what you get, and that is what we have right now. So I don't see it. I do see a mass right now. Early ballot voting in Texas right now, they're screaming and hollering because ballots for early voting in Texas got switched. Same thing happened in Georgia. So, you know, it's just right now corrupt. Our whole country is corrupt as I don't know what right now. And I don't see anything changing very soon. But I don't know what direction, where does that put us? What does that mean? Ron, you've been quiet. What do you think?
Well, I would like to be optimistic, but I really can't say that right now I am. And I don't see... I don't see things getting any much better anytime soon. I mean, there's just too much resentment, too much, I don't even know what words to use anymore. And it's so easy for somebody to lose control and say, you know, I'm just going to take out, you know, a bunch of people today with a gun, and you know, I don't even know what would go on in the mind of somebody like that, you know, because if I were, as an example, if I were contemplating, not that I ever would, but even doing something like that, I mean, the rational side of me would start thinking, okay, do I really want to spend the rest of my life in jail? I mean, not even that. I mean, just the fact that taking somebody else's life, I know, is not what God put me on this earth for. So I don't. These are sick people. I don't know what's going on in their minds. So I think there might be even more to this whole thing than just you know, the divisiveness and the bitterness and fights going back and forth between political parties, between races. I think there's mental illness, and I think that's a big problem, I think, and I don't know what's causing it, but I know that the U.S. is not alone in this. I mean, I know that every country has populations I don't know what the percentages are, but that deal with mental illness, but I think it's a growing problem here. I think you know, there's just so many factors. Opioid abuse. I mean, I could go on and on. There's just so many, the stress of living in today's world. I know people that are in their 20s and early 30s and they're tired of living. How is that even possible?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm 55. I was happy as can be when I was 27, and I'm talking to somebody now who's 27 and says he's tired of living. I don't understand that. What's going on? I mean, I have no idea.
But you know, Ron, we're not the adults in the room, wherever they're hiding, are not being adults. We're not leading, and I don't mean just political parties. Whoever has the stage, we're hungry for those people to step forward and say, you know, it's not left or right, it's not black or white, it's not this or that. Here's the problem, and here's how we're going to start fixing it, because we've come up, you know, we're discussing this together. You know, we're always going to have, unfortunately, people that are unstable, crazy people, whatever you want to say. But leaving the impression now that physical violence is now okay, where maybe when you and I were young, Ron, we didn't even think of that, and maybe the general perception was, we just don't do that. Now it seems to be okay.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, people just, they don't have respect for life, I guess, anymore. And it's each man for himself, I guess, you know, I don't know. It's just very disturbing.
Let me jump in and tell you something that I found disturbing, that the police officer, Jason Van Dyke, who shot the 17-year-old kid and they charged him and sent him to prison, is now getting so many donations from around the United States that they can't keep up with all of it. He's been showered with donations and books and gifts and everything while he's in jail. Now, anybody else that would have done something like that, you would have never had that, but somehow our America is supporting that. They opened up a GoFundMe page for him and account, and his lawyers or something. And now there's a ton of money in there because they all sympathize with him when he shot and killed a young man. And so I think, I don't see it getting any better, because there are all these people that we don't know about out there that think the same way. But I don't know, maybe we need to shut down all our fast food restaurants. Eating too much fast food is causing all these problems. I don't know.
What all of us see out here, we're the eyes and ears in the field, okay? They're sitting in the managerial position, and we're all the field staff out here gathering all the information, observation, and we report to them and say, hey, guys, here's the 18 problems you got to solve. And right now they look at us and say, okay. And that's the end of it. We need to be the field techs that come in and say, here's the 18 problems. You got 1 month. You got a period of time. You got next week. I want to know what the direction of where the answers are. We're to get solutions to these problems. We're not doing that. Maybe that's the way it has to come. We, as a groundswell, have to go to all of them that are in leadership positions and say, that's it, guys. We're done. We're tired. Here's the problems. We'll list them out for you because you can't seem to identify. Now we want the solutions and get working on it together.
Do you think that
we got to start standing that?
I don't think that the people in the United States think that would work, because you go to see these people, you can't get nowhere near them. They don't listen to you. They don't do anything. So the reason they don't do it is they probably tried it one time, but I don't think that it would work. You can't get near these people. You can, if you go into a city council meeting and you're negative or you're not agreeing with what they say, they will escort you out.
It's all about approach. I don't know. I can't relate to what you guys have done, but you're on communities trying to get a touchy situation understood, or on the state level, not on the national level. I have not had a problem doing research, going to our congressman, going to the city council, going to the township board, stating it. You're right. You can't go in emotional and confrontation. That'll get you nowhere. But if you go in with the facts and you state your reasons and you state your concerns and you help give them some ammunition, maybe I shouldn't use ammunition, some information, help show them that here's a good start from what we see in the field. Now, you carry it from here. That's why we put you in the position. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the right answer, gotten the tough problem solved. I have not had a problem with that. It's delivery. But we out here, we have to figure out how to approach them the right way as well. Otherwise, you're right. They won't do it. They won't do a thing to change.
The only problem with that, Bruce, that I see, is that there are so many people that think it's always going to be the same old, no matter what. I mentioned my brother that I was talking to right before the show, and he said he's not voting. And I said, "What do you mean you're not voting?" He says, "I'm tired of all of them. They're all, you know, liars, and nothing's going to change, and it's all BS." And you know, so this is a person that's fed up with the system, and you know, I can't say that I entirely disagree with him. I mean, I remember back a few months ago when we had the terrible Marjorie Stoneman Douglas massacre down here during Valentine's Day in February, and you know how there was outrage and outcry all over the country, all over South Florida, you know, against gun violence. And guess what? They said that things will change during the midterm elections, and here we are a week away. And I don't really hear anything down here anymore about Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and, you know, who we should be voting for that will, you know, in terms of gun violence, that will stand up to the NRA, for example. And I don't really hear that anymore. So, I mean, I hear a little bit. I can't say that I don't hear it at all, but you know, things happen and then people forget and they die down. Nothing changes. And it's the same old, pretty much.
That's what keeps us stuck where we are, Ron. I know you're not saying you don't have that attitude, but your brother does. The politicians count on us, I think, in a large part, that we can't organize in a big enough, intelligent way to state our case on a high enough level that we would go to Washington, go to the state, or go to the local township or city or village board and be able to convince them. Well, they might be – so far they've been right, haven't they? We haven't done that. But maybe it's time for us to do that in an intelligent way. And I don't tend to want to be around someone who says, well, it'll never change. We can't do it. Woe is me. Well, then step aside. There's plenty of other people that feel different than that.
Right.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to bring that to a – we've been talking about that for like 35 minutes now, but we all – I think we're all – and we want to send our sympathies out to all these people that have lost their lives in the last week. But I'm going to ask the question, did you know that the wall was being built? I mean, I don't – I don't think many Americans know that Trump's wall was actually being built. And if it is, what money are we using to build this wall? Because they just showcased the first component of the wall. And I was like, I knew that there was a lot of discussion about the wall, but I didn't know the wall was actually being built.
Yeah.
Did you know the wall was being built there, Jeremiah?
No. I didn't. When did we start building that wall there?
The first component of it is already done, and they're showcasing
it. When they got the first appropriations, gentlemen, where have you been?
About 2 years ago, ain't it?
I'm
not going to lie. I've had my ears closed towards our president, but do you know where we're getting this money from, David?
I know there was a lot of discussion about building the wall. There was a lot of discussion about where the money was going to come from, where is it going to start, and everything. But no one ever said we're actually going to start building it, and it will be finished.
They got an initial appropriation, David, $1.6 billion or something like that.
From where?
From one of the bills, or you know how they tuck things here, put things there. One of the enactments that was voted on had one, I think, a certain amount of money. I want to say $1.6 billion. I might be totally wrong on the figure. And it was approved. He got the money, and I assume that's where the start of the wall actual construction is coming from, I would guess.
I think what David is saying, and maybe this did happen, but I didn't see it, is like an official, you know, start of the wall, ribbon cutting ceremony, something like that. I didn't see that in the news at all.
And you won't either.
Like a big secret.
But what I think is even more funny is, you know, when Trump used to say, and who's going to pay for the wall? Everybody would say, Mexico. Well, guess what? Mexico ain't paying for the wall.
Well, I was just shocked to see it. I mean, it's kind of cheap looking, but I guess it'll work. I want to ask you guys' opinion on this. I've talked to several people and they all have different opinions, but in one of the towns, the mayor for Halloween, he's going to round up all the sex offenders in his town and put them in City Hall until Halloween is over. Now, my understanding is there's 25 to 30 offenders in this town, and he's going to round them all up and make them stay in the City Hall. And, you know, Halloween night.
A lot of these guys
have already done their time. And, you know, sometimes, sex offenders get charged because somebody will say, you know, something. But anyway, I'm just saying, what do you guys think about that? What do you think about that?
Why is he doing that?
Because he's going to run for an election again. And he wants everybody to think he's doing his work, I think. But he's doing it. What do you think about that? What do you think, Spencer?
I think it's funny, actually. I mean,
you think it's what?
I think it's funny as far as like what are you doing? But you're right. I mean, you don't want. I mean, there's two arguments here. One, you don't want these guys to some of these guys to relapse, I guess, with all the kids out, like some of them do. And then I guess on the other side, you know, like you said, some of these guys have served their time. They're they probably are part of the community as much as they can be. And it's really wrong. Actually, you're kind of holding me against – actually, it's unlawful. Aren't you kind of holding me against my will? Something of that nature.
But what they said was – sex offenders, that the government has the opportunity to round them up anytime within the state that has this town. So they can do it in this particular state.
Are you saying the government, are you talking about on a state level or
state,
federal
the
level?
State law, when, once you're a sex offender in this particular state, there's a caveat that whenever they want to come investigate you or take you somewhere, they have the authority. So he's using
that law.
What state
is that, David?
I hate to tell you all this, but it's Georgia.
What?
And it's Grove Town, Georgia.
Is that the truth? That's a real law? Wow. Well, yeah. Get out the state then, I guess, for Wednesday. Get out the state.
I think it's more states. I think it's more states like that, man. Because if you look at it, most of the offenders when it comes to sexual abuse are repeat offenders. So they've done things like, even when you see kids go missing for years at a time and stuff like that, sometimes they really think it's these guys that have done it before, and they have a knack of doing it, and they do it again. They you know, their problem resurfaced, which I believe.
David?
So you agree with the mayor?
I'm not going to say I agree with the mayor, but that's one thing. That's one crime that I don't like and I don't agree with, and I'll never get past it. I feel like if you touch a child or elderly person, of course you got those ones that say it's a he say she say kind of thing, but definitely if it's not like showing yourself, if it's more action occurred, I would definitely do this. I would do it to him.
Do you know how many?
I don't know what charges.
Do you know how many men are accused of
falsely accused? I agree. But just like I said, there are ones that say, oh, he showed me himself. Let's just say, I don't know what charge that be. I disagree with that. But if you've been caught with, multiple kids or just elderly or whatever it is, if you've done it and we know you've done it for sure, and you've had, if you sexually abused someone physically, I agree. Just like a thief. Tell me how many times a thief goes to jail. More than a bunch. So
wow.
I would do anything necessary to protect the kids and the community.
So even the people who, not kids were not in their crime, but they're going to be held too, so they all get to go. So you agree with that?
Say one more time, the kids are not in their prime?
You know, they didn't have sex against children. You know, they just have a sex offender banner on them. Could be that, you know, some girlfriend claims, you know, he did something wrong or something like that, but they're all going to go.
Well, the ones that I will enable would be the ones against elderly and against children. If it's, you know, I can't call Bill and tell him to come on over and stay in Georgia, but he would have been accused of certain things, and they both were adults. I wouldn't do that, but children and elderly, yes.
All right. What are your thoughts?
Because these guys, people, I don't like when people take advantage of people, and especially when they're kids and elderly. Man, you can't fend for yourself.
I agree with that. What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts? Do you think this is a good thing?
Well, I was trying to understand. You said that this little town, the mayor is bringing all these offenders to City Hall.
Yes.
To put them on display so people know who they
no,
are?
No, no, no. They have to sit in City Hall, and they'll have two or three police officers guarding them.
For what purpose?
So
that
the
kids can
go
trick-or-treating without sex offenders being on the streets. The people in the town on the news seem to, well, a couple of people that they had on the news think it's great.
Well, if they're guilty of something and they've been proven guilty, why aren't they serving out their sentence, whatever that is? Why are they taking them to City Hall? That's what I don't understand.
Maybe they've
like
done,
they've done their 10 or 15 years in prison, let's just say. And now he's, you know, 50, 60 years old.
Yeah.
But some guys don't kick their habit that's been a habit all your life. You know, I've seen it. I don't mean to interrupt, but I've seen it where fathers have the same problem, have the problem, and their kids end up having the same problem. I've seen that.
Right, right, right.
So it's not a kickable habit. It's kind of ingrained with, I don't know, with some genetics and scientific stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. Not always, but yes, it can happen that way. I agree with that as well. If it's some way if someone has served their time or whatever, and they have that designation and they're on a list, I understand, you know, that so people know where they are, and you may object with having them where they are. this additional, whatever you want to call it, I don't understand why they're doing that. Are they saying, well, people don't have a solid enough way to know exactly who these people are and where they are, so we're going to do this as well? I don't get that.
I don't think they're going to be on display. I just think they'll round them all up and take them to a room in the city hall, and police will sit there with them until they think trick-or-treating is over.
Off the street. Okay. Well, yes. And you said they can legally do that in this town?
Yes.
Oh. It doesn't sound like a legal move, but, you know, I'm not.
No, sure. It doesn't.
No, it sounds like, well, you used to be guilty. You may still be. We don't know. But just in case you are, you got to come. We're going to lock you up for Halloween. Well, you know, that one day isn't going to solve that problem, is it?
All right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a grandstand thing, isn't it?
It's called an ER.
You know, it's a politician out of control.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Because why don't you put them in? Why don't you watch them in the morning when kids are going to school and going home from school?
That's
you
right.
Know?
Or every day of the year, if you think there's a real reason to, not just
right.
Halloween.
And
right.
What
this
are parents doing?
Just trying to get elected. That's all. I think.
Yeah, a gesture. Yep. Probably that may very well be true. I don't know.
Right.
And what are the parents doing, letting the kids going trick or treating without them being around to supervise?
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah, well, we all used to do that, gentlemen. Us young, older guys, we went everywhere, but the world is different now. I get it. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
All right, guys. I want to move around, let everyone talk about some things they want to talk about. But one of the things that I saw that kind of grabbed my attention, and this is the last thing I'm going to bring up, but it's just I don't understand why, but do you know that Putin got invited back to the White House with Trump and he's going to be there in March? Why? I thought we had decided he was sabotaging our elections and stuff. Why are we bringing this guy back to the United States? Why are we friends? And I guess it's political, but I don't know why. Can somebody, Ron, why do you think that is, other than friend of Trump, why do you think He actually, to me, tells Trump what to do in terms of that relationship.
I don't have an answer for you, David. I wish I did. It's beyond my comprehension. Trump is the only president that has had this kind of a relationship with our Russian counterparts and North Koreans. So I don't know. Maybe Trump thinks he knows something that everybody else doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, where to put his hotel in these foreign countries. Anyway, all right. So, Bruce, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I'll give you my thought on what you just asked Ron about.
Okay.
I think the president a number of times, I don't know all the time, likes to put out the idea that I want him to think this so I can do that. And it's entirely different than what the message that the press and everybody is running down the road, so to speak, or putting on the headlines. I think he does that on purpose. Having said that, if that's even got a slim chance of being somewhat true, he may very well say, you know, and the old adage of keep your enemies close, I whatever is perceived as friendship could be that, you know, I'm gonna show this guy that I'm stronger than him. I'm gonna get what I want out of him. I know everybody thinks that he's Putin's puppet and he's doing it to Trump, but I wouldn't bet my mortgage on the fact that that's what's happening. I don't know for sure, but I don't think Trump is that dumb.
Gullible,
that's a better word. I really don't. I think there's something going on, and he constantly directs you one way. You know, look over here where the shiny object is, because I'm going to do something over here. You know,
that's true.
I think there's some of that as a possibility.
Okay. So what do you think, Jeremiah?
Kind of lost you guys for a second. I was reading something in the news. Can you repeat that, Dave?
I was just saying, what do you think about Trump inviting Putin back over, and he's going to come in March. Why are we? I thought this guy was anti our politics. Why are we inviting him back?
I guess he realized he needs to come to some kind of agreement there and squash things down. But
yeah.
Maybe Trump was advised by his supporters or his team to reconcile. Maybe, you know, for some reason or another.
Okay. So Spencer, what's going on in sports?
Nothing much, really. My team sucks.
What? What do you mean nothing much?
You know.
Oh, you stepped in it.
Did you hear about Cleveland fired their head coach?
Oh yeah, after six, I thought that was premature. I think that was I guess they were just tired of him. I mean, it was time to get rid of him anyways. But I still think it was premature. I don't think it was right. You don't have LeBron. I don't know what you. No. What had happened was. Supposedly, the GM wanted to play more of the younger players instead of the veterans, Kyle Culver and J.R. Smith. So for one game, he did do that. But the second game, he gave more minutes to J.R. Smith and Kyle Culver, the veteran guys, instead of the younger guys like the GM X. So with that being said, without asking Altman, I think that's his last name, so with that being said, they felt it was time for him to go. That's what's been on the wire. I don't know how true that is, but that's what came out. Said that was one of the main reasons, besides this, the 0-6, that he got fired because he didn't want to put in some of the younger guys to have a better shot, I guess, of winning 10 games this season, maybe 20.
Okay.
Oh, the Rams, did the Rams lose?
Don't know the answer to that one.
I think the Rams lost today. I know they were losing. Well, I know they got a safety, but they're the only undefeated. Never mind, negative. 23-13.
Actually, they're winning right now, sir.
So it's 23-13. Looks like they're going to be the only undefeated team again. I have the Rams versus New Orleans. In a championship game, NFC championship game, and the Patriots and Kansas. Yes, Rams in New Orleans in an NFC championship game, and the Patriots, even though I hate them with a passion, the Patriots in Kansas City in an AFC championship game. So the Rams versus, I want to see a Rams Kansas City, you know, lead the Patriots out of it, but you never know. It's Tom Brady.
No.
And
Tom Brady decides to leave. He's gonna be there.
Tom Brady and the referees can be too.
All right.
Are there any LeBron fans in the house?
No.
Oh.
Nah, he's not with Miami anymore. You know, he's just. I let him live his life. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Just let him live his life.
I'm somewhat supportive, but not eagerly supportive.
Don is a LeBron fan, is he?
He's not here.
Yeah, but he's
not here today. No,
oh man, he's been going off right now.
Yeah,
he's been going off right now.
So how does
give me that phone? Give me that phone.
Then?
Oh, Boston Red Sox gonna win a World Series. Sorry.
Oh, you think so?
They just overall the best actually. Yeah,
well,
that doesn't mean
you're going to win just because you have the best.
That doesn't mean you're going to win because you have the best. But they have the best pitching, and it all comes down to pitching. So that's why they're up 3-2. I'll give LA another win at home, but then when they go back to Boston, it's a wrap.
I'd rather have the East Coast win over the West Coast anyway.
They're up in the series, 3-2 or so, or 3-1 or something?
Yeah, it's 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the fifth game is tonight. Fifth game's tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the fifth game's tonight. I think that's about wrapped it up.
in college football, Alabama versus Alabama versus LSU. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Alabama.
You'll be stupid not to pick Alabama, but I think LSU has a really good chance.
I want Alabama
to lose, but
yes.
You know, they got a bunch of 5-star recruits. Now, what do you say? Like, you're getting the best recruits every year. You're getting grown men that were in high school starting for you in college. So hey, guys that are ready. Their strength is up there, and talent is up there, and abilities are up there. So, it's hard to compete with those guys.
So are they unfairly stacking the deck in Alabama? Probably not. Are we jealous that they have better than everybody? Yes. So it's time for them to be humbled a little bit. Let's have them lose.
Correct. It's time for the Hurricanes to play a lot better. Darn it.
Is this time for them to get rid of Mark Richt? Can somebody please?
Wow.
Is he gone? Please, it's
low
time
blow.
For him.
Please,
no,
please.
I'm saying, in the, 13 years he was at Georgia? A stat. He never called offensive plays. He had an offensive coordinator do that. He stuck to the defense at Miami. He wants to call these retarded plays. Oh, yeah, we're going to just dink and dunk for the remainder of the game. When we have speedsters down, just throw it up. Just throw it up. But you know what? Next time, why don't you just try to recruit a quarterback, actually? Why don't you go to the West Coast and actually get a quarterback? Because that's all Miami needs is a quarterback. Our defense is one of the best, second to only LSU in everything.
It's not hard for us to recruit a good quarterback. You got to give him some money, man. It's not hard. It's not easy for you to recruit a great quarterback, honestly.
We can't go that route.
When was the last time we had a great quarterback? Like, it's not that easy, we can understand that.
Brock?
We can't go and get, a top 10 quarterback.
Mark Richt,
we're talking
right?
about recruiting,
no.
not actually playing in high school in a highly touted quarterback out of high school. We're talking about, not saying that you got here and you played good. I'm talking about a highly touted quarterback out of high school.
Basilica.
Kaya was, but he wasn't even as good as he should have been. He was out of Cali.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, but why? Yeah. Because he had trash. The other coach, forgot his name, Al Golden. Is that his name? Al Golden as a coach who was not a quarterback.
He was in Miami
coach.
For $3 million.
Yeah, and then you have Mark Richt again, and it's just like you're trying to bring this spread offense to the U. Power football, that's what we always put out on the best running back. But they want to do this spread, same handoff. I could stop that. They're going to run the ball.
From my understanding, the reason why they're doing the spread and running the ball kind of thing is because our offensive line. Now, I'm not happy with our quarterback situation, okay? I'm not happy with our offensive line, and I'm not happy with the play calling. I think Mark Richt is a great coach. He just has issues on the offensive side of the ball. I believe if he gets someone, maybe he gets to get a better quarterback coach, and maybe a trustworthy quarterback will mind coming over to the U, because you got your son here that's never played a down. You can't tell me, take that sack and get up and brush it off. Well, sucker, you never took a sack a day in your life. So I think,
I
think we should start with that, getting a real quarterback coach so we can recruit real quarterbacks. Not 3-star quarterbacks that we're hopeful that they can play good one day. Let's get some guys that are already playing in the college and almost ready for the NFL. Look at Trevor Lawrence. That guy's like he's ready for the NFL. He's just his first year at Clemson. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
we definitely need someone like Trevor Lawrence.
Okay,
we need opportunities. I think he's a great coach. He's a very humble guy. He knows how to coach. He knows the ins and outs of being a head coach. He just needs some help with trying to run everything and on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, gentlemen, I got to break in because we only got 50 seconds left, and I want to put this out there for young men and men who are taking their kids trick-or-treating. Take the candy away from the kids and go through it, please, because they just discovered that sweet tart that now they're doing their ecstasy and all that looks identically to sweet tarts. And so if you take all the sweet tarts away from your kids, because right now they're saying that's a lot of drugs.
It's not,
yes, sir?
I was going to say, it's not just sweet tarts, actually. It's actually a lot of the candies now that they're putting ecstasy
Sucker,
and Molly,
all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that they're making look like.
I have a quick request of the two you in our group, Mr. Spencer, Mr. Jeremiah. I'll put the Michigan Wolverines defensive team against anybody you want to put in front of them.
Oh,
so
Alabama,
you think about
them.
You think about that. No, I don't care about them, man. They don't scare me.
All right. Yeah. We say goodbye. We'll be back again next week. Great week. Enjoy Halloween, but don't let it get you down. I mean, make sure you watch the kids. Make sure you look at their candies and do what you have to do. You guys have a good
week, guys.
My costume.
Yeah.
I haven't picked out my costume yet, but
oh, you better hurry up.